Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Live, taking stock, of course. It's Friday, the end of the week, and it's been an eventful week. It's 21st of July, 2023. By the way, if you can, like, subscribe. No, if you can, you can do it. Just subscribe, okay? And you can comment, you get notifications, and there's some great content put out on our YouTube channel. In fact, I go far to say, John, we have the best content of any provider on small microcap stocks. And I say that wholeheartedly. Look around the place, we do the best content.
Well, I couldn't disagree, could I? Couldn't disagree.
No, you'd be a fool to. Yeah. So just let's check out how the markets are before we go into comments. I want to share the screen here. Oh, look at that. Last 2 days was green. And now the overall best performer is the AMOL share. That doesn't happen very often,
no.
I've got to say. You know, the FTSE is barely down over the last 18 months. The FTSE, the AMOL share, down 40-odd percent. It's trying to rally a bit. It did hit a low of about 7.45, I think. There we are. But just the FTSE's rises and falls here. Hargreaves Lansdown again, John. We covered
there
those.
There you go, man.
Quality
there you
stock.
Go. Yeah.
Ashted.
Bargain basement, quality company.
Yeah. Ashted. They are a leasing company, are they? What are they?
Equipment hire.
Equipment hire, that's right.
Equipment hire. A big, massive in America. Most of their businesses in America.
Yes. Yeah. Do you know what? I've listened to a podcast for a while back, and an American investor, and he loved Ashton, and he's gone on right. Mm. But Centrica's there. Very interesting, actually, Centrica. I did say about the gas price. Who's storing? And we did say about Centrica, rough storage. Now, they've got like 12 days worth of storage. Their rough gas storage up north, and they've reactivated that. But that's woefully behind, you know, EU counterparts. They said the average over there is about 90 to 100 days, even more of day storage, use of storage. We got 12 days. In the UK, and gas is an all-time cheap price now. Should be storing up. Fallers. Mondi, BT, Prudential. So is there a theme there?
Not really.
There's a couple of miners at the bottom there. But yeah, it's not a huge falling there. Okay. So, John, I want to talk about comments first and foremost before we get to some of the business news. We had a couple of comments yesterday. One guy said, oh, you can only make money in the markets, you know, in a US markets when there's a bubble happening. That's the only time you can make money. I thought, what do you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, if you're looking for sort of mega returns in a very short space of time, then, you know, by all means, ride a hype bubble. And I think that's to a large degree what we're seeing with the AI companies at the moment. It's very reminiscent of this, you know, the dot-com boom and the commodities boom and every other boom that we've had over the years. So yeah, there is the opportunity if you want to do that to you know, literally ride the momentum of those bubbles, ride the hype. Right, individual companies that are sort of benefiting from it. But it isn't, you know, as we've seen from some of those sort of Everest-like share prices, it what goes up must come down when it comes to hype most of the time. So I would say, you know, yeah, ride them. Why not? Ride the bubble, but you just got to know when to get out. Don't get greedy and don't hang on.
Yeah, but the thing is, if you're after big, aggressive rises, and who doesn't, of course, you need to go down the market cap. If you're looking for UK, you can make a lot of money in UK microcaps, you know, if you make sure the companies have money and they've got sort of a big end markets and they're scalable. Because, I mean, in fact, let's share the screen today. This is today, and you are starting to see a bit more liquidity. I mean, Gfinity, it's at a torrid time. The business is in question as well. But look at some rises, like Long Life, 31%. There's some big rises, you know, amongst microcap stocks, smaller, Shield Therapeutics, you know, Oxybiotics. And they've been rising for quite a few days, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to chuck something out there, which is, you know, the temptation is to believe that, you know, these kind of mega gains can only come from smaller companies. Now, if you look, for example, get a share price graph for Unilever up.
Yeah.
If we go back, you know, and we'll have a look at a long graph going back, you know, as far as you possibly can,
That's a daily. Let's look at a weekly here, right? So there we are. If you've got 1996 and it started off at £7.
£7.
40 quid. But that's,
You know, so you can buy very large companies that will go on to become even larger companies. You know, this is, think of the mega caps in the US, you know, the tech mega caps. You know, you could have bought Apple for peanuts, you know, a decade ago, and even cheaper before that. So I think we ought to be careful not to just believe that the only way you can generate these very, you know, super large returns, multi-baggers, is with small caps. Large companies can deliver the goods over the years as well. And also, you know, think about a company like Unilever. It's not just capital growth that you're getting here. It's the dividends that come with it. And if you reinvest and compound, you know, your total return on a share like that is massive, absolutely massive. So I just wanted to chuck that out there. You know, large companies can do the business as well. And look at Diageo, fabulous company.
Yeah, Diageo gone from 5 quid up to 35 quid. That is 1998. So we are talking, 30 years there.
Well, it's a good time horizon. It's not one, you know, not
I'll
one for
dead.
The. Not
I'll
one
be
for
dead.
The, no, I should hope not. No, it's not. You know, it's not for the impatient. But you know, this is a strategy that, you know, it comes again. It goes back to that risk reward thing we were discussing yesterday. You can buy a large company, which because of the nature of the business, that, you know, the strength in its brands, the cash flows that it generates is a lower risk proposition than a small cap, and it can do the business, you know, in terms of multi-bagging.
Yeah, but that's, what's that, 10 baggers. But you are talking about ASOS is one of the ones that's always talked about as if you put £1,000 in, you get £166,000 back, I think it was. And that went from literally, you know, 2000s. And no, I generally, if you want major gains, but decent companies as well, I think you have to sort of fish around the sub 100 million mark. And if you want, you know, trading sort of profits, but there are some very rare. There are very rare companies that can scale from a sub 10 million market cap. If they have got that end markets massive, they can do it. ASOS is obviously one of the first around online retailers. But like I said, that went from like 49 pence up to 70 quid. That is phenomenal. So literally, if you have 50 pence, that's 140 times your money. There are some massive opportunities around in and in fact, you know, if you look at Apple and Nvidia, good return, but from here, where's Apple going to go? It's a $3 trillion market cap company. How much, you know, return you get out of the next year or so?
Well, why can't it become a $10 trillion company? You know,
because that's ridiculous. But $3 trillion is ridiculous.
It seems ridiculous. It moves, you would have said,
it moved 5% of the day just announcing AI. 5% for $3 trillion just to AI. So, as if that's a surprise. Apple's at the forefront of technology. Surely they'll have some kind of AI strategy anyway, you know, but they announced it. It went by 5%. That's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, Apple is an amazing company. You know, when it went into mobile phones when, you know, it never had an experience in mobile phones and then reinvented the category entirely. You know, when the iPod was launched, there's a famous quote from Alan Sugar. You know, and I think he said something like, you know, this time next year, the iPod will be like finished, kaput. You know, look what happened.
I often
next.
Wonder if Alan Sugar's made any money. I really do, honestly.
Property. He made a lot of money in property.
You remember that email I phoned? Remember that? That
was I do. I even know somebody who had one. So Apple, you know, it has been over the years the master of reinvention, you know, and not just reinventing itself, but reinventing entire categories of products. The entire way that music is just distributed, the entire functionality of what a phone can do. And, you know, actually, in Apple's case, this came strangely. One of my first jobs was in an advertising agency that focused on technology. And we had Apple as a client, and they were trying to launch a product called the Newton, which I don't know if you remember. It was the first PDA, they used personal digital assistant.
Okay, yeah.
You know, like a digital file of fax. It was an absolute disaster. But you know, from there, it sort of learned, and then it could apply some of that into you know, putting that functionality into a phone. And of course, people said Apple's never gonna. What does it know about phones? Look where it is now. So, and you know, there are rumors that it's going to, you know, do something in automotive. They have been circling for a long time, but you know, there's nothing to stop a billion-dollar company becoming a $20 billion company, a $1 trillion company becoming a, you know, $3 trillion company, and so on and so on.
Yeah, which is amazing. It's amazing how many big companies as well fail. You know, is like if you look at Facebook, for example. I mean, Meta, they've spent so much money on that, and now all of a sudden, everything, Mark, people started nudging with it. AI is the way forward, Mark. And they really put a massive campaign into Meta, and we saw the sort of, you know, the graphics around Meta, and thinking, what? That's like 80s arcade games. And, like, and then all of a sudden, he started not mentioning it anymore, you know, and AI is the thing. And there's other things he's failed at. What else? There was some other big thing they failed at, a couple of things they failed at. Then Google failed at things. And if you big survived this, trouble with small companies, if you've got one thing you're going with, it has to be spot on, you know. Mark Zuckerberg is literally, you know, going for Twitter now on Threads. I don't know if you've tried Threads. It is basically a worse version of Twitter. It's not that good. It's not user friendly. It just doesn't display well. It's something not right with it. And you think it's almost a poor man's version. I know he's got the money to back it, and they've got the conversion from Instagram, which has got already they've got 150 million users, whereas Twitter has 450 million. So almost there within a couple of weeks. But that could fail, you know. But listen, with small companies, I mean, it's a typical example here. Ondo, I'll share the chart of this. Share screen. This has risen phenomenally. It's got a nice bit of tech, right? It's an elite bot. And I don't hold any shares here. And I didn't want to get in because I'm worried about the funding issues inside. The results are coming out before the 31st of July. I'd like to see how much they're doing. But look at that. You know, if you want return, literally, that's gone from, you know, 6 pence to 35 pence. Since April, you know, and this doesn't happen every day like that, but you do get multi-baggers in the UK market, but you have to go down the market cap. But therein lies the risk, you know, is their offering scalable? Has it got a big, you know, commercial offering? And yes, it has, because this is a company that, you know, literally sells to insurance companies, and insurance companies lose most of their profits via leaks in the home. So it's a big commercial market. But short term, I'm just a little concerned about their funding, you know. But I think, you know, technology wise, seems very good. Now, that's the kind of thing you want to look for. Company you have, very simple offering, because like, small companies only have one revenue stream, one idea. That's why I like them. And you've got to judge them on that. Is that idea good? Is the addressable market big? Is it scalable? And because sometimes you can see companies and think, well, it's not going to go anywhere with that. And I've done very well on companies that, in fact, a while back, quite a few years back, EVRH, do you remember those?
No.
Basically, they were going to sell the idea of virtual concerts. So you buy tickets at virtual concerts, and they were buying some rights to, or they were getting involved with the company to give them rights to their virtual concerts. So essentially, quite a good idea, because if Justin Bieber's playing somewhere, or whoever's the one at the moment, the hot ticket at the moment,
and Taylor you can't Swift. Get to,
yeah, Taylor Swift. Yeah, she's been around for a while now, hasn't she? But
yeah, it's still
popular. If you can't go to a concert, you want to get to a concert, and you can actually get the, you know, VR box on your head and watch it like that, then maybe that's the way forward. You could almost triple the sort of size of the concert. Well, or, you know,
but I'm thinking,
but the thing is, you're realizing concerts about atmosphere as well. Going with your friends, yeah, exactly. It's not all about the thing. So you're not going to sit there with a box on your head. And then 10 bagged EVRH. I did really well at them. And then all of a sudden, When the revenue has to start generating, it goes from a hype stock into a revenue generating stock. You realize the wheels come off because they're not converting that idea. And that's why I call hope hype potential stocks. If you get in the right time, you can do very well. But then when they hit the reality of having to sort of generate revenue and the costs start coming in, then you see a different story. So you see that hype cycle chart that goes up to that, comes down. And if they're successful, has a long, slow tail upwards. But
this is an interesting. I mean, we talked about this before, the water tech space, and you've got water intelligence as well, which is a lot more commercially advanced. And Eraco is doing something similar. We're trying to get them all together to do a little sort of head to head to discuss, exactly what they're doing to address the problem of sort of water wastage and water quality. So look out for that. It's going to be coming up soon, hopefully.
Yeah, but I'd love trying to find these micro caps that have the scale to carry on beyond, say, a couple of 100%, overnight success and then drop back off then because they need to raise money. I mean, can they, continue? Looking through, I'd say Gfinity at the moment is questionable. I held them a while back. Pretty much failing in what they're doing. Lung Life is very interesting. Paul has talked about those a lot. Paul Hill, he's chatting with the guys there and they do this test for lung cancer, And they are going through, I think, as a pivotal study coming up very soon. But the pilot study is very interesting, the results they got back. But yeah, it's the biggest killer of all lung cancer. I think it's combined. I read some of it kills more people than breast, all the other cancers combined, the top three. So that's a very interesting big market there.
Yeah, no news. News there today behind Lung Life.
I think it's 31%. Very illiquid stock and it rallies quickly.
Must be a buyer.
Shield's interesting. Hopefully, I'm interviewing Shield very soon. It's always worth it. This is why this section of our website is invaluable. And only people realize that. Look at the most followed and the risers. Just read the news and see what they've got. See what the product is, see how big the market is and all that. So see the valuation. And you get a lot of ideas from this area here. If there's interest in there, you get this and that. I just find it very interesting. One of the comments from yesterday was Revolution Beauty, of course, has been going through a bit of a to and fro with Boohoo. Boohoo seems to have won out there now. But the guy said, how do you value Revolution Beauty? And he said, he's got to be a bit of upside here. So have you looked at Revolution Beauty at all? I just had a quick look at the numbers. And essentially, I've seen forecasts of the numbers. I think it was, let me just get the numbers up there. The forecasts were, and I think it was like 220 million for 2023. And they're showing a forecast net profit of 4.8 million. And for 2024, 242 million with a net profit, 6 million. So even based on that, if a PE of, say, 20 on 2024 net profit, you're talking about 120 million market cap. That's very rough. They are 95 million market cap now. That's around like 20% upside. It's not a huge amount of upside or based on those metrics. I mean, you can up that multiple of 20 or 30, but is it realistic? Because the margin is not that big. So I'm not seeing a huge amount of upside unless I'm missing the story. That's based on the figures.
I'm not seeing any forecasts, strangely, the software I use. I'm seeing big losses last year. I mean, it's been a bit of a mess, really, isn't it? But it's got some good brands. If you're buying this, you're hoping that the whole lot gets taken out at some point, surely. But that's not to say, I mean, beauty is an interesting market. We had some numbers yesterday from Brand Architects, which were very well received by the market. You've got another company out there called Warpaint, which has done extremely well. This is sort of a lot of post-COVID recovery here. When everyone was stuck at home, they weren't bothering to use makeup. The people weren't going out. So there's a lot of market recovery here, and some very interesting players. You've also got, of course, THG, which I noticed on that list there, which has a very large beauty division as well.
Brand Architects, by the way, they bought Innovoderma. Innovoderma was a listed company of its own, and their main brand was Skinny Tan. Mm. And Skinny Tan really caught the imagination because it gives you two things, John. It makes you look skinny, and it gives you a tan.
That's exactly what I need.
Exactly. It's what we all need, isn't it? But, I mean, I don't know how it makes you skinny, but it sold really well. And if you look at Brand Architects, it's a company that can you sell? It's in retail, I suppose. So, I don't know. But they've got a bit of cash as well. And surprisingly, their market cap, what is it? It's not it's 8.6. And I think their market cap is not far off. Their cash is about 5-6 million. So in fact,
enterprise value, looking at SharePab, is what I use for my data. Enterprise value is £500,000.
Yeah, and well, they are net cash of 8.1 million. Now, they are losing money, but how much money are they losing? Not a lot, operating loss of £800,000. So that's a company there. They've got enough cash runway to take off the ground. And we are in the summer, so maybe Skinny Tan is going to do well there. I don't know. So
Maybe. And they've got some other brands as well, all of which I've, of course, I've heard of. Superfacialist, Dirty Works, Dr. Sorts.
Let's have a good brand out of this chart.
But you know, beauty, I think it is an interesting. An interesting space, as I said, you know, we are fashion obsessed, but I have two daughters and the spending money on makeup is one of their favourite things to do.
I've just put an alert on it, Long Life AI, and that's I've just had two of them up then. But I always put alerts on companies that are hot to see where they're going. This is, I've got an alert on this as well. So this ticked up yesterday. It literally rose over 50-day moving average and come back. But if you look at that, again, what I quite like about this, it almost you can see a floor, you know, a low here back in December of 24 pence, and it's risen up above. But it needs to sort of, you know, break above those previous highs, maybe above 36 pence, because it hasn't done that. And once it starts to do that, maybe it'll start an uptrend.
Remember, they settled a legal dispute as well, which I think has obviously been overhanging this company. So, you know, I think if you're looking across this sector for value, you know, perhaps it's here, given as you say, that the enterprise value is so low. I mean, Warpaint, you know, this is the quality play in the sector.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at, you know, they're growing at quite a lick, but you have to pay 20 times forecast PE for the shares. But, you know, as I say, it's growing rapidly. So
Good example of, if you know, you look at a rise in the UK market, that was 67 pence in 2020, and now it's 288.
Nice company.
It is nice a good company.
But then, you know, the other thing is like, okay, so value investing is a funny one because often, you know, people equate sort of special situations or, you know, recovery investing and value investing as being one and the same thing. But actually, you know, if you've got a company that's growing very quickly, so it's a growth company, you know, in essence, if the shares are attractively priced, you can still find value in a growth company. And that's where how you perhaps have to look at something like Warpaint, which you know, the price is moving up, but it's reflective of what is a rapidly growing business and actually is 20 times forecast earnings value for a company like Warpaint. Possibly it is.
Yeah. Someone's asked about Someone's asked about Cakebox, which we've had on the well, I quite like about Cakebox. So the margins are very good because they are largely a franchise, you know. Mm. And if you look there, they had an offer which wasn't a massive premium. It was 160. The offer was it yesterday? I think.
It was. Yeah.
Let's go to the Cakebox. 160. So it wasn't a lot of premium, and they said no way, materially undervaluing the company. And there we are. But if you notice that, we had some, it's broken that. I did put a line in there previously, and it didn't break above that. And now it's broken above that 160 line. That seems to me, you know, a good start there, because there's a gap here that needs to really fill. But I mean, it's broken out that trend line, which has been in pretty much since what, 2022, August last year. So almost a year up and down between, you know, 153 and £1, and now it's broken up, which is, that could be a start of a nice uptrend here. All the moving averages are now sort of turning up, and so maybe worth a look.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a sort of cheeky, the market there is looking better than one assumes for another offer. Because what did you say, the offer price was 160?
It's 170 now. The 160, the offer price.
Was rejected. So the market is obviously hoping for a higher offer. And you know, looking at the numbers, you know, that was a cheeky low ball offer there. You know, both in terms of where we are, in terms of the current trading and what the forecast look like. It's, again, good business.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at some sort of news out then. So, one of the or is it most. Are winners today. There's a lot of winners, but they've got no news around them. So I've looked at all these. None of these have any news on them at all. Apart from, you go down further, and in fact, where was it? Oh, Filtronic has dropped off the list now. But so Filtronic was the one. Is it FTC, I think? Isn't it FTC?
Yeah.
And that was the only one with a bit of news out. So 36 million market cap, and they've got 3.2 million pound, but 3.7 million euros payload development project with the European Space Agency. That's quite a sexy RNS, isn't it? That's better than drill rig update.
I mean, you know, space sounds sexy, yeah. But really this is just bunging satellites up into space and, you know, using them to deliver broadband in this case. So I mean, it's not really that sexy. But it's a good contract. It's a good contract, good company. You know, but I think I'm saying recently that, you know, the UK has a lot of really real strength in electrical engineering and high-end engineering. And this is, you know, another company that's demonstrative of that. This is really sort of, I mean, if you think about, what's it called? Skylink, you know, Elon Musk's. Mm.
Yeah,
communication satellites.
SpaceX and all that.
Yeah, this is sort of the European equivalent. You know, it's basically space broadband.
Yeah, I can imagine the Europeans are a bit more staid, a bit more sensible than Elon Musk, though. But do you know what? It's funny. There is a fund based in the UK that's invests in space. Do you know what it's called?
It's an investment trust. I can't remember what it's called.
It started rising recently. I can't think what it's called. Is it S?
Seraphim Space Investment Trust.
Seraphim, yes.
Seraphim Space Investment Trust.
What's the ticker there?
SSIT. I've never looked at it. I've been meaning to look at it for a while. They put out a good commentary every month, which I always have a little read of, but I've never actually looked in detail at the trust itself.
Well, I heard the guy on Sky, you know, Business News, I think it was, but their net asset value, like all sort of funds at the moment, pretty much, you know, are at the discount, massive. But they're doing a repurchase program here. And I thought, where are you getting the spare cash from? So 14%, about 15% of their update. But
a lot of the time, when investment trusts are buying shares, it's discount management. So the way investment trust works is they have assets that, which are measured by the net asset value and the share price. And in times of market stress, you will often find that the share price dips well below the book value of the assets, the discount. Yeah. And so to manage that discount, they often buy back shares to reduce the number of shares in issue.
Yeah, so there we are. There's, from 128, they've been at top. Again, look at all these companies that start their history in the summer of 21, which was top of the bull market when people were throwing money around at everything. Yes, a space investment trust. That sounds an excellent idea. Let's throw money at it. And all of a sudden, the bear market, and it's come down to 25 pence.
Yeah.
But it has rallied recently. And is that a bottom? Maybe, who knows? They may have to come back. It's a quick rally from 26.
It's exactly the sort of company that was really hit by the sort of inflationary environment. And as we talked about yesterday, the mechanical effects of that on the valuation of growth investments, i.e. the sort of future cash value of those investments. And also just general worries about, you know, within private equity trusts, venture capital trusts, you know, were valuations overcooked? Was the NAV believable? Did investment companies have these, their private investments on the books at too high a value?
Yeah, well, do you know what? That's the thing. When you look at, you know, funds of any nature, I've seen quite a few people, let's say, promoting a certain small cap sort of fund at the moment, saying it's ridiculous. The fund is like four times over. But yes, you've got a question, though. You know, when was the valuations done? You know, are they realistic? If they're not listed and you can't, and they're not creating money, how do you know that the valuations of the holdings are realistic? You know, if you had to sell those companies today in this market, what would you get for them? What's the liquidation value of those companies? You know?
Well, that's interesting because, you know, this is why, you know, investment companies, investment trusts, they're closed-ended. And what that means, you know, in comparison to, you know, open-ended funds, is that, you know, there is no need for an investment trust to liquidate any of its investments to satisfy redemptions if people want to take their money out of it. The way people take their money out of it is to sell the shares. That's why you get the discount. But there's no need for an investment trust to liquidate anything to satisfy if its investors want their money back. That's a big problem we had in funds, especially when it came to things like property, which is illiquid, takes time to sell. So when people wanted their money back in open-ended property funds, they literally had to gate the funds. I stopped people taking money out because they couldn't satisfy them, because they couldn't liquidate these illiquid assets quickly enough.
Yeah, so trusts are better, you're saying, especially in the long
for liquid acids. For liquid assets,
because of, yeah. Like I said, Neil Woodford had that, you know, classical drawing money out, open-ended fund, always on the like, hemorrhaging, didn't they? And yeah, so this is a an investment trust. So okay,
it's an investment trust.
Marvelous. Okay, so anyway, listen, Filtronic was one of the losers today was Boliven. BLVN, are you aware of this stock, John, at all?
I am, from just only at a very high level from many years ago.
Okay. So essentially, they rose, big riser yesterday, and I think I can't see what they're up by there, but yesterday they were up by 66%, and they're down by 12% because they are saying that they didn't response to share price movement. They're African-focused oil and gas exploration production company with key interest in Cameroon, notes recent share price. And they said, in its interim results, 30th of March, the company noted it's been considering its fundraising options and expects to seek a raise additional equity in 2023. Well, why would that make the share price go up? Normally, when you say you're going to raise some funds, it goes down. So unless people didn't spot that.
Well, they said that back in March. So yeah, I mean, who knows? You know, as you pointed out earlier this week, you know, the inflation data has been supportive of a return to the sort of bombed out share prices, and I think we're going to see, you know, as you say, you know, a lot of companies rising today on no news. So I think we'll see a lot.
So I think we've seen that. That's what I'm saying. The watermark. This is the it's like waves coming in and go. It's like the tide coming in. Slowly, one comes in, then another one comes in, and they go back out a little bit and come back in. And you think, has the tide changed yet? I think it has. I think it has to change because either way we go. For example, if we get worse economic data, that means there's, you know, central banks probably won't raise anymore, especially if inflation is coming down a little bit. So, you know, if you get really bad economic data, the central banks may even just, you know, reduce. But,
it's all still a bit up in the air. I mean, there was some data out this week, and we're going to go off the tangent here. But there was some data out in America, you know, really strong jobs market still. And, you know, the worry still is that, you know, having tightened, you know, and seen the effects of tightening on economic activity, if all of a sudden, you know, the jobs market doesn't weaken, we do see wages continue to increase, there is a bounce back in certain commodity prices because of demand. And you know, it's not impossible to assume that there may be some problems in supply chains still lurking, you know, then it might not be the end of the rate hiking cycle. So I do think we have to exercise a little bit of caution still, just going back to that, because as I say, strong data will force the hand of the Fed and the Bank of England. Mervyn King came out today and said that now we risk recession because of what the central bank is doing with interest rates. And Mervyn King always likes to say that the current central bank is doing it wrong.
I did it better. It's I was better than him.
But he's right, and this is what I was trying to get to. It's like, okay, so you know, we celebrate the end of this inflationary cycle, but you know, we potentially have risk replacing that with a recessionary cycle, which is.
But that's sort of what they want. But they're not going to ever admit that. But the central banks almost, you need a recession to bring prices down. You need that because, you know, essentially, you know, what a recession is, it's a slowdown in demand, which means you produce less, which means less demand means obviously prices go down on certain things, and that's what you need. And you're only going to get that through a recession. They won't admit that ever. But I do think this is like a super tanker where we're heading towards the shore, and literally you go, it's a fine line between, you know, what's a hard landing, you crash straight into the White Cliffs of Dover and take out Dover, or you literally whack it in full reverse. And think, before it hits the coast. I mean, that's a soft landing. But I mean, we're going to be very close to recession. We're in recession. Yeah, by the way, we are in recession, pretty much. It's only technicalities of 0.1% or zero. We're flat 1 month, 0.1. Let's be honest, it's hardly growing, are we? You know?
I mean, there were some retail sales figures out today from the Office for National Statistics. They're not, I mean, they're up. So non-food up a percent.
Retail sales up by 0.7% last month.
Yeah, but just look at the chart.
Sunny weather.
Look at the weather. Look at the chart. It's price. It's price, not volume.
Ah, you know? Yes.
So people are paying more but buying less. So, you know, this is...
And they're also buying more via discounts and loyalty apps now. It's the first time in 2 years that that figure's risen.
Exactly. We, you know, GfK does a consumer confidence measure, and that's back to a three-month low, which again reflects what we've been talking about with, you know, the mortgage bomb that could be about to hit as people go off those fixed rate deals. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to worry about there still, I would say.
But we, do you think people, to a certain extent, get blasé? If we look at, it's a story here about fixed rate mortgage rates have risen again after a brief fall.
So brief, I almost missed it. I mean,
yeah, it was like a day, wasn't it? 2 days. But do you think people get blasé about things? Because, you know, when you have the shock, initial shock of things rising, like everyone starts tightening their belts, you know, and then all of a sudden, you think, oh, it's not really hurting me that much. And you start to, and you can't shock people anymore. So almost the shock factor of, like, you know, the food price is up 17%. And you think, wow. And so if you get a pack of pasta for £1 this year, what will it cost next year? £1.17. Is that going to break many people's banks? I don't know. Most, you know, it's like most people, there's a bigger majority have no mortgage than have a mortgage.
But it hurts different people in different ways, you know, so... Yeah. So the higher up the income scale you are, the lesser proportion of food is your budget. So, you know, I think I've talked about this before, that I believe that what we're seeing is actually a two-speed economy. You know, you've got the haves and the have-nots, and you know, these things hurt the poorest in society more.
But also, I mean, I'm not talking about, obviously, that's, you know, I'm being sympathetic with those people, of course I am, but I'm talking from an economic perspective. The people at the low end spend less as well. So the people at the higher end spend more anyway. So, you know, they sway the economy more. So, you know, growth is not really that affected by, you know, mid to high earners, because, like I said, it doesn't really bother them 17 pence on a bag of pasta every year. It doesn't, you know, or they've got much of a mortgage.
In which case, how do rising interest rates, you know, take any steam out of the economy at all?
I suppose businesses affected by debt. There will be some effect, because, of course, anyone with debt who has to refinance any debt will be affected by that. But also the lower end of the pay scales, people who are, you know, are less well off, of course, will spend less. So it will affect it, but it's not a huge significant effect. But if you borrowed massively, if you had lots of money anyway and you borrowed massively on an ISA, in fact, you know, when I was in holidays, about 4 years ago now, when in Dominican Republic, and in the pool, my son made friends with another guy the same age, and this guy was like a fund manager or something, I can't remember, from Wimbledon, and he had a cracking house in Wimbledon, right? And he said, oh, how do you do that? Just cheap mortgages, cheap money. He said, in fact, I should remortgage that, shouldn't I? And he completely had the... I had a different concept. I didn't want a mortgage, you know? I want to get rid of my mortgage. His idea was cheap money, refinance it as much as you can, right up the eyeballs, you know, because it's cheap money. And I think guys like that now, if they had refinance and it was like a 2 or 3 year deal or 5 year deal, then he's in trouble coming up, because literally he's got a massive house there up to the eyeballs, you know, in debt. Because you just saw cheap money. Now it's the opposite. The money's not cheap. So there are people like that as well, higher end, who will see their mortgage go up massively, you know?
I mean, I don't think you can criticize anyone for taking that approach. It was, you know, this was an approach that was being advised to companies as well, you know, efficiency of balance sheet, which meant, you know, it was a euphemism for take on loads of debt because it's cheap. And you know, as you rightly say, then, you know, this is, you know, very, very much an example of how years of very low interest rates have perhaps lulled people into a way of thinking that does not stack up in the future. And actually, you know, managing debt, managing exposures to interest rates is a very important thing for companies to do. So, you know, it's a behaviour that I think is going to change. But you know, what I don't think changes is I think interest rate rises are a very crude tool, and so they are proving.
Yeah.
Last thing this government should be doing is knocking businesses out with high interest rates, because they create jobs, and those jobs, you know, they feed everybody.
But again, are good businesses, the ones who want to thrive, will they be knocked out by this? Or is it the zombie businesses who literally just maintain their debt for years now going to find it, oh, we can't pay it. And they've got a business. Now, it's awful companies, to be working there, but hopefully they'll be taken over by, and you know, they'll find a better business to go to, more resilient in the end. AIM at the moment, tip example, there's a lot of companies on AIM going delisting, you know, because they can't afford to carry on. Is that the way it is? It's natural evolution cleansing, isn't it, of the market for healthy companies versus unhealthy companies, you know?
Yeah, I don't think it's that simple. I think companies need, you know, access to capital, whether that's to, you know, to invest in new equipment or to invest in growth initiatives. And, you know, that can come from the markets. And if it doesn't come from the markets, you know, we've had a period where it's been very difficult to raise money through the markets. Mm. And it's got to come from somewhere. So, and that somewhere would either be, you know, would often be debt.
Do you know where it should come from? Is look at George. George Roach, Premier African Minerals. He's obviously got having problems raising money, but he's dipped into his pocket there. For a convertible, he's offered the company a convertible for his loan. This is the most read RNS today, by the way, so I thought I'd better flag this up before we end. But 1.7 million there, convertible loan note there, and skirt. But, you know, and essentially it's 8% if they can't pay the thing. But how would that work? I was quite surprised he's got 1.7 million.
He's obviously checking there. It's a novel way of funding a business, a public business. You know, again, it sort of does suggest that the market's difficult for fundraising, or that they, you know, they don't really want to dilute existing shareholders too much. But although it is convertible,
I don't think George cares about that.
No,
he does quite a few fundraisers of the year. But I was surprised at the chart. The Premier African Minerals, it's actually the opposite way to AIM. That's, I wouldn't have expected that. That company is pre-revenue in exploration in Zimbabwe and South Africa. To the sort of highly questionable jurisdictions for investors, quite high risk. It's gone the other way.
He's obviously confident. One point seven million into the business. That is a show of confidence.
Yeah, saying that the chart has been going quite well for the last, you know, from March 2021 up until April 2023. 2 years of rise has been quite volatile, but all of a sudden you've gone from, you know, 1 pence. Down to half one, but that's 50% how long it takes to get up there. And literally just, you know, it's like an old person walking up the stairs, right? Takes them ages to get up there, and all of a sudden they fall at the top of the stairs. And that's how fast they come back down. Oh, I can't bother. Let's get a stair lift. It's easier. There we are. Marvellous stuff. Any other observations, John, or is that it for the weekend?
No, there's a few nice little updates out today, we're going to have a look at. Through Vision, not a company that I've spent a lot of time looking at, but we're having a look today. It's basically security systems, the scanners. Okay. And it's quite interesting. It's doing a lot in retail for basically the rising issue of employee theft. Big, good business.
Yeah.
And customer scanning as well. So we're having a look at that. Look at DP Poland earlier. This is quite interesting. The Polish and Croatian franchise licensee of the Domino's pizza brand. I mean, this has been going for a long time, but they seem to be on the cusp of breakthrough here into profit. So we've had a little look at that. And what else have we got coming up today? We've obviously did Filtronic, and we'll be looking at Renalytics as well.
Okay, yeah, Renalytics. Both charts there, very similar. Through Vision, Anthony, they've come down a long way. They're very quite messy in the range of, like, you know, 6 to 11 pence. And what was the last one? Renalytics. Yeah. Wow, again, look at that. It's come from 35. That's a hope pipe, classic hope pipe potential stock. Look at that. The potential, absolute potential going forward, but they realize it'll take quite a few years to get there. And all of a sudden, the bear market kicks in. Whoa! But then again, that opportunity lies. You know, that's the kind of company that can do really well. If we zoom in here, it has gone from 1.8 pence to 4 pence, like 3-4 bagger in the last few weeks. Mm. Wow. Yeah. So there are opportunities out there, apart from the US in a bubble. People say, why don't you invest in the US markets? There's plenty of opportunities in the UK. Well, there's loads of them. It's quite a good few med tech companies and, you know, biopharma companies they quite like, you know. Mm. Obviously balance that up with a sensible fund. Marvellous stuff. Speak next week. Don't forget to hit the like, subscribe, and you get notified when we do the next live show on Monday. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.